Whilst he slept it off, Trillian did a little research in the ship's copy of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. It had some advice to offer on drunkenness. "Go to it," it said, "and good luck." It was cross-referenced to the entry concerning the size of the universe and ways of coping with that. Then she found the entry on Han Wavell, an exotic holiday planet and one of the wonders of the galaxy. Han Wavell is a world which consists largely of fabulous ultra-luxury hotels and casinos, all of which have been formed by the natural erosion of wind and rain. Terrific, thought Trillian to herself, and within a few hours the great white running shoe ship was slowly powering down out of the sky beneath a hot brilliant sun towards a brightly coloured sandy spaceport. The ship was clearly causing a sensation on the ground, and Trillian was enjoying herself. She heard Zaphod moving around and whistling somewhere in the ship. "How are you?" she said over the general intercom.
"Fine," he said brightly. "Terribly well."
"Where are you?"
"In the bathroom."
"What are you doing?"
"Staying here."
After an hour or two, it became plain that he meant it, and the ship returned to the sky without having once opened its hatchway.
"Hey ho,"
said Eddie, the computer. Trillian nodded patiently, tapped her fingers a couple of times, and pushed the intercom switch. "I think that enforced fun is probably not what you need at this point."
"Probably not,"
replied Zaphod from wherever he was.
"I think a bit of physical challenge would help draw you out of yourself."
"Hey, whatever you think, I think," said Zaphod.
Recreational impossibilities was a heading which caught Trillian's eye, when a short while later she sat down to flip through the guide again, and as the Heart of Gold rushed at improbable speeds in an indeterminate direction, she sipped a cup of something undrinkable from the Nutramatic drinks dispenser and read about how to fly. The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy has this to say on the subject of flying. "There is an art," it says, "or rather a knack to flying. The knack lies in learning how to throw yourself at the ground and miss. Pick a nice day," it suggests, "and try it. The first part is easy. All it requires is simply the ability to throw yourself forward with all your weight and the willingness not to mind that it's going to hurt. That is, it's going to hurt if you fail to miss the ground. Most people fail to miss the ground, and if they are really trying properly, the likelihood is that they will fail to miss it fairly hard. Clearly, it is this second part, the missing, which presents the difficulties. One problem is that you have to miss the ground accidentally. It's no good deliberately intending to miss the ground, because you won't. You have to have your attention suddenly distracted by something else when you're halfway there, so that you are no longer thinking about falling, or about the ground, or about how much it's going to hurt if you fail to miss it. It is notoriously difficult to prize your attention away from these three things during the split second you have at your disposal, hence most people's failure, and their eventual disillusionment with this exhilarating and spectacular sport. If, however, you are lucky enough to have your attention momentarily distracted at the crucial moment by, say, a gorgeous pair of legs, tentacles, pseudopodia, according to phylum, and or personal inclination, or a bomb going off in your vicinity, or by suddenly spotting an extremely rare species of beetle crawling along a nearby twig, then in your astonishment you will miss the ground completely and remain bobbing just a few inches above it in what might seem to be a slightly foolish manner. This is a moment for superb and delicate concentration. Bob and float, float and bob. Ignore all considerations of your own weight and simply let yourself waft higher. Try a few swoops, gentle ones at first, then drift above the treetops, breathing regularly. Do not wave at anybody. When you have done this a few times, you will find the moment of distraction rapidly becomes easier and easier to achieve. You will then learn all sorts of things about how to control your flight, your speed, your manoeuvrability, and the trick usually lies in not thinking too hard about whatever you want to do, but just allowing it to happen as if it was going to anyway. You will also learn about how to land properly, which is something you will almost certainly cock up, and cock up badly on your first attempt. Trillian read this longingly, but reluctantly decided that Zaphod wasn't really in the right frame of mind for attempting to fly, or for walking through mountains, or for trying to get the Brantisvogan Civil Service to acknowledge a change of address card, which were the other things listed under the heading Recreational Impossibilities.
Instead, she flew the ship to Alisimanius Sinica, a world of ice, snow, mind-hurtling beauty and stunning cold. The trek from the snow plains of Lisca to the summit of the ice crystal pyramids of Sastantua is long and gruelling, even with jet skis and a team of Sinica snowhounds, but the view from the top, a view which takes in the Stinn glacier fields, the shimmering Prism mountains and the far ethereal dancing ice lights, is one which first freezes the mind and then slowly releases it to hitherto unexperienced horizons of beauty. And Trillian, for one, felt that she could do with a bit of having her mind slowly released to hitherto unexperienced horizons of beauty.